I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are?
All right, everybody, another day, another dollar, another one of my favorite episodes. Of course, I'm biased. It's my own episode. I gotta say, this is a treat. This Christmas came early. My birthday came early. I gotta say, my guest here, I knew him from passing. We worked together temporarily. We thought we were going to work together for a long time. Great guy. Wrong place. Wrong time. Nick Mershon. He's a seasoned business coach with a wealth of experience derived from 9 years navigating Navy submarines and over 3,400 hours of coaching. Through his coaching journey, he has been instrumental in helping businesses thrive by instilling a problem-solving mindset. That's problem-solving. And fostering strong leadership skills. His impact is evident in the success stories of the individuals and organizations he has guided, bringing precision and determination by their endeavors. His unique blend of Navy honed expertise, coupled with learning from Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth and Northwestern Kellogg School of Management, positions him as a dynamic force in the business coaching arena. Nick isn't just a coach. He's a proven guide, ready to help your business thrive, not just survive. Connect with him today. The man, the myth, the legend. What's up, Nick? How's it going?
Let's go. Thanks, man. Glad to be here. Glad to be part of it. Good to see another great face. And thanks for having me on, man. I'm excited.
Dude, I like I said, man, full disclosure, Nick and I, we worked together only a couple months, but, you know, yeah, it seemed like years, right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it was fun being at a place where we thought we were going to learn a lot more, and just hearing some of the stuff that came down and being able to take that to a client or apply that in life. We've been around the block a little bit, and we can read through whatever the BS is fairly quickly. But it was still fun. I learned a bunch. I got a bunch of stuff in the don't do this toolbox that I didn't think could get any bigger.
But Nick, here, I got to tell you this. I have a history of not being a star fucker, but close to it, because
yeah,
I've been fawning. I've been doing the GC. I'm a licensee GC. Yeah. Did all that. I was with Ty Lopez for a year. Hung out his mansion. The Brendan Burchard, the Tony Robbins,
yeah,
all these things, met all these great people, hung out with all these great people. And then I was like, I felt like I was the fat kid. Oh, I was like Charlie Bucket with a golden ticket.
Absolutely.
Didn't you feel like, Absolutely. Oh my God, you're going to work for a startup. You're going to work for a man that's probably revered in the same category as the GCs, the Tonys.
Right.
I mean, everybody knows him by his first name or his initials.
Absolutely.
And then you get there. My second day, I'm like, I'm at the right place, right time. This is it. This is Nirvana. Once again, I have a history of being a star fucker. I get to meet Iron Mike Tyson, get to talk to the man, somebody I grew up with for like 2 minutes, got a selfie. I'm like, man, this is it. This is only the bottom. This thing's only going to get better. Little did I realize that, you know, that's it. That's the moment, dude. I should have walked out.
Day two, man.
I never thought day two was going to peak. But, I mean, you know all about, and what I love about you is because on your LinkedIn and all your profiles, social media, everything, you discuss the sales process. You discuss leadership. You discuss culture, because culture is a pretty big thing in any organization. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. Well, yeah. And that's also the people stray from the, oh, hey, we're a family here, right? Like at the end of the day, I want you to have my back on the business side of things. But if people are super, hey, this is a family, like there are two different ways to say have a culture that's a family, right? Is it Thanksgiving dinner where I'm fighting with the aunts and uncles and the in-laws? Or is it, hey, we take care of each other and we understand hey, here are the other two or three things that are going on. And let's have whatever the mission is, whatever the business objective is, front and center. So there are plenty of families that are toxic as hell and chaotic, and they get stuff done. But the best businesses, the best units I've been a part of, was their infighting 100%. But the infighting didn't turn into, hey, this entire department hates this other department, and the mission goes away. So as long as you can keep the whatever the main thing is going, game on. But you have to build that from a culture of, I take care of my people, I take care of my clients. And people have it all wrong, I think. I think everybody that says, hey, the customer is always right. Like, if your customer is first, then your employees are not. And if you're taking care of your employees, guess what? They're going to take care of your customers. All right? So just nix.
Well, it all starts, wouldn't you say, from the foundation.
Sure.
You have to have the foundation. I know you love baseball.
Yeah.
The foundation, it's all about the process and systems in place that have been there for a while. If you have a revolving door in any business, even in a sports franchise, I don't know how the Marlins won two World Series, but if you need like a continuous roster, you need to print out a roster to check out the 40-man, the 24-man, then there's something wrong. There's a reason why you're not winning. You need some stability. I mean, I was at that place. I was hitting 5 months, and I was already – I had seniority almost. And I was like, no, dude, I should be a newbie still, man. I'm a friggin' newbie.
Correct. And that's the – in the Navy, it was very much a train your relief is what we said, right? But a bunch of businesses, especially my first 2 years in the manufacturing world, like we had a couple badass machinists where if they walk out the door, that's 15 years on this one machine and these parts gone, right? Because there was no, we had a very rough training program, but there was no, hey, here are the machines you need, here are the tools you need, here's every step of the way to get you to whatever, well-rounded machines, right? So trying to bridge that gap of really an entire generation that thought, hey, if I share my expertise with you, I'm going to lose my job, right? I had a bunch of guys that had been doing it for 20 years and a bunch of brand new guys out of school that were like the Google generation. I'm going to read everything and get everything. And I was like, hey, guys, like I need you to make this happen because I can't have 3 A players and a bunch of C minus players. I'd rather everybody be a B and the whole company wins. 2 or 3 rock stars and a bunch of people that have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Well, also, when it comes to building a foundation, when you have culture, it requires zero effort in the sense you don't need to manipulate people.
No.
If there's manipulation, you're knee deep either in a friggin' cult. Like, I mean, Jim Jones, where's the Kool-Aid? Either that or you need to get the hell out because toxicity is running rampant. You shouldn't have to manipulate anybody to do anything.
Right. Well, that's the sports examples, right? Is the love them or hate them? It's the Yankees, right? Because you come in and you know, hey, you're going to have the shave, you're going to look the part, you're going to rock the pinstripes, and you know what the standard is going there, right? At GC's day one, here's your binder of stuff. Here's everything you're going to do from day one to day, however long you're here. Here's what you're going to look like. Here's what you're going to talk like. Here's what happens if you don't meet these standards. Go, game on. It was the most clear set of instructions I've ever seen on a day one. I think a bunch of companies could learn from it just from an onboarding standpoint and that ramp up for training standpoint, right?
And being in the room a million times during functions and being a coach, going to the office of Grant Cardone's in Aventura, the one thing too that you realize is Sherry and Jared are not fanboys. They're not looking at Edgy's. There's mutual respect.
100%.
Not looking at him like, oh my God, he is such a rock star.
Right. Exactly.
Where the company that we came from, full disclosure, everybody, I know everybody, it's Valuetainment, Patrick by David. we're letting the cat out of the bag. Mario it's there. And Leo, didn't you have the when they looked at him?
Yeah,
it looked like hot chicks standing outside of a Motley Crue concert, 1987, dude.
Correct. There was no, and that's the shout out to GC and that whole team, because from an org standpoint, they got it down. They got it down, right? Like, GC is going to go be the up and out. Jared's going to be the marketing and the data side and the voice, the other younger voice. And Sherry's going to make sure that everybody is P's and Q's everywhere across the board, right? So from a structure standpoint, that's the owner, the COO, and the president are all, whether they are or not, the perception is they're all on the same page. They're a unified front. Whether they are or not, I'm sure there's a bunch of conversations that happen behind closed doors. But out in front of people, this is what we're doing. This is the way we're going, X, Y, and Z, right? So same, the best Chiefs quarters I had on board my submarine, there were a bunch of guys that physically fought each other in the quarters. Like, physically fought each other, couldn't stand each other. And as soon as they walked out that door, here's what we're doing. Here's the united front. Here's what we're going through. Right? Which is 1,000 times better than the nitpicky infighting, talking shit about other people, other employees, whatever the decisions are that are made. Which, like, once that starts happening, you have to figure out, hey, is it the person? Or is it something that we've built internally that incentivizes that? Right? Because I should, building out a sales team, I should never be competing against my manager for a sale. I shouldn't have a manager come in and say, hey, Omar, I'm gonna lock this down for you. And also I get 50% of that. Like, your comp structure is so flawed if that's where we're at. That was the some of the best sales orgs I've been a part of are, hey, like, your manager's gonna get paid and your manager's gonna get whatever, a 1 or a 2 or a 3% override. And if they lock something down for one of their guys, like, that's their guy's commission. Because I need you to win for me to win.
Well, that's called living in abundance. That's when you have a win-win mentality. And it Correct. can't be some people get leads while other people, hey, I love Correct. This. Do something. Show us you're a hunter and we'll do. And every sales job I ever had, okay, if you're going to give someone the yellow pages and say call, blindly call people, that's yeah. because everybody had to do it. It wasn't
right. because Correct.
Some people were like Ticketmaster and they had the people that wanted to buy.
Exactly. They,
the people, the have-nots, had to compete, and it'd be like, scumbag, you don't love Pat?
Right.
What am I going to tell Pat? You haven't sold complete strangers. You haven't sold your friends.
Exactly. Which
is another flawed thing, because to me, if your whole business model, your sales process is, we will hire you, but you better bring us your friends, your family, your associates. You better find people in your inner circle, your network. Then you're selling supplemental insurance, man. That's some Aflac stuff. That's
correct.
Let's just hire everybody.
Right.
See what sticks. They're part of our universe. That person's gone. And we'll just keep on hiring more and more people.
Exactly.
And create a right. following. Right?
Well, and that works in a network marketing world or in an insurance world. That would work, right? Because the more I bring in, the more policies I sell, the bigger my book of business gets. Okay, cool. And it's all under the same umbrella. I can't do that in an organization that's selling a product or a service. I can't do that in something where, hey, I'm actually going to come in and consult. I'm actually going to come to your spot and actually help your business get better. I can't have that same network marketing mentality where I'm coming to you and saying, hey, here's what we're doing. Right? Because at some point the organization falls apart, or you have six people that make all the money, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But if the goal is to help as many businesses as possible, or put as like get however many people to that next level, cool. I can't have a structure where, hey, Omar, you're going to sign up under me and I'm going to take a chunk of everything you make. And then eventually, like, when I'm three levels down, nobody's making any money except for the guy at the top.
Well, for that, I'm going to sell makeup Right, 100%. You know, Mary Kay.
Correct.
You know, all the other Tupperware.
Right.
That's a business plan of a multi-level marketer.
Correct. Correct.
Being a business owner, I could never do that. I could never grow an empire or whatnot, or in any sales job. And how can you say, hey, I'm doing this for the customer? Because KYC, know your customer.
Yeah.
You're trying to solve them a problem, right? Their problem.
Correct.
You're not just blindly just selling them whatever shit because, you know, up top needs this sold.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, and that's your customer avatar, like, should be built out fairly well, but it's also who are you taking counsel from? And especially going there, right? Like, my two big things are learning and earning. If I'm learning a bunch or I'm earning a bunch, game on. If I can do both, perfect. But once one of them stops, I got to go. Right. But going there, I thought I was going to learn a lot more about business than I did. I thought being in the rooms that I was going to be in, okay, wow, this is a room full of killers. This is a room full of people that know a whole bunch more about business than I do. Very rarely did I feel that way.
I felt the opposite.
Right.
And, you know, when I was brought in, because they're like, oh, you know, you have all this experience with these books and is it a consultant?
Right. Correct. Which is not sales, everybody, which is not sales. I put it on LinkedIn earlier today. Sales is not consulting. Consulting is not sales. Nobody commented underneath it. I was like, let's hear what the detractors have to say.
There's two separate umbrellas, right?
Correct. Correct.
And then I was fine. You're like, oh, by the way, it's really just a fucking title. You ain't consulting shit. You're going to pretend for 10 minutes, but after a Zoom call to sell them another Zoom call that, you know. And how can you be a consultant? Some of these people, which were just really salespeople with zero experience, dude. And I tell this all the time. Yeah, I can be a consultant because 20 years of being a business owner and being a business coach and actually having clients. Yeah. But there was people in the fucking room that, well, I'm buddies with this manager, so I'm getting leads or real leads. I'm just being a ticket taker.
Right.
That person is seen as a consultant while I'm seen as, like, you know, what a scumbag.
100%. And
I can sell, but give me a list. Give me a reason to sell. Let, you know, just don't tell me to sell my network. Cause you know, am I going to take 100% of what I'm selling? I'm consulting someone, or am I only going to take 5%? Because after we left, it was lowered to 5%. Would I take
5%? Absolutely.
And that was made zero sense. And
correct.
I went there because I thought I was going to be learning from, okay, this guy's GC, this guy's Grant Cardone's competitor. He's younger. Let me find out his methods, his way of selling. Let me put that in my toolbox.
Right.
And their sales process is just, we didn't sign disclosure. I know I didn't. watch a tape recording of a conference, the same conference that's held every year. He even says he just changes the guest. The Vault Conference. I watched the Vault Conference, and congratulations. Now go out there and start selling. Two days later, and it's like,
which you have to have that, right? Like
you have to know the product,
right? Yeah, it's not a rip of you. No. You shouldn't watch that, but like, I need to watch that. And then, hey, here's how I applied it to these six business owners. Here's five or six calls that we have recorded that are solid. Here's our objection handling. Here's how our follow-up process is. Like, I can't. There are plenty of places where I can hand you a script and say, hey, go. Right? Plenty of places where I can hand you a script, say, this is what we're doing today. This is all you need to know. Okay, game on. Right? Talking to the level of people that we were talking to, damn near impossible to do. Not impossible to do, but damn near impossible to do, because I have to have the background knowledge of your business, what else we offer, and how it makes sense from essentially a burning platform standpoint. Like, Omar, if you don't have anything, if I'm on the phone and there's nothing to sell you, I'm not going to sell it to you. But I'm also not going to kick it. I'm not also not going to kick and scream to get you a $600 ticket when I can go sell a $40,000 or a $20,000 package. And I know that whoever is on the other end of that call is going to be like, hey, just send me the invoice. I know exactly what I'm getting. Go. Go.
And talking about your previous employer, what I love about it is the modules. You have to consistently be learning. You have to be consistently learning the sales process. You have to do the modules on Cardone University.
Right.
Wow, mind blowing. Exactly. I mean, to this day, you know, I am a licensee because I get to do that. I get to watch that, not pay, you know, what other people pay for it. That's how you become great at sales, is you learn.
Right. Correct. Well, it's also the in it, right? The in it. Like there are people that say, hey, I play baseball. Like, that's cool. I can go on field right now. We're gonna hit a couple around. But we might knock a couple out game on. But it's not an Acuna or a Bryce Harper that do that shit every single day. Right. So if you want to, I haven't found anybody better in the sales world than GC. And you know exactly what you're getting, right? Like, in that world, if you don't buy from me today, my family's not eating. Right. But like, we're hanging in there for forever. The other side of that is, I guess you could maybe say the Pat side, but it's, and I never actually asked you for the sale. Right. So if we have two spectrums, like, I think Pat's way on the other end and Grant's on the, hey, you need to buy right now. But the way I get you to is because I know what the problem is. It's because I walked you through the steps and said, hey, Omar, I get that. We can do these two things, and we're going to get you whatever that return is inside of this first, whatever, 90 days, 6 months. Let's go make it happen. But a bunch of business owners don't have their businesses structured to incentivize their sales teams, right? I can't. And on where guys are like, hey, Nick, I need my team to sell more. I'm like, well, cool. What's that comp plan look like? Oh, we give them whatever, 5, 10, 12, 20% across the board. Like, who, if you gave them, could you make it more? Could you make it more? Right? If you're giving your guys 10%, could you give them 15? At what point could you give them 15 to where it doesn't hurt you and they're all pumped? Hey, Omar, here's what I did for you today. Today I doubled I essentially took another 50% of your commission. Hit this level. Everything he gets 15% move forward. Perfect. Cool. Let's do it. But I'm also not going to yell at you about the retainer or the salary or anything else you're getting because of that other one. Right? Like that's very, you said it earlier. It was a very abundant mentality versus a, oh my gosh, how are we going to get the next thing mentality, which is really the tale of the two companies. One is there's plenty out there. The other one is, hey, how can we get mine and take away from whoever else?
Well, they kept on moving the finish line.
Correct.
For everything. And they kept it in a way, or they spoke down to you like you were on. I remember hearing over and over, you know, we don't want you here if you're just here for a selfie. And it's like, are you serious? Is that your Vince Lombardi? Zig Ziglar's rolling around in his grave, Mario. What the hell is that, dude? Holy smokes. I should have written that down. If I go back into business, that's how I'm going to motivate my sales staff. That's how I'm going to motivate my employees. If you're just because you want to meet someone, then it's like, oh, got it, dude. Got it. Or the retainer, which is so low that you couldn't even live comfortably in Topeka, Kansas.
Right.
You'd have to live in the Unabomber out in the middle of nowhere. And he's constantly yelling at people, hey, you're using us. It's like, is this 1962, dude? Because this money ain't getting you far, especially in South Florida.
Correct. I didn't have a problem with that. Like, I understand the oh hey, you're going to be around. If you've never been around high level people, I understand that conversation. I never understand the I don't want you here if you're only here for the money. Like,
bro, we're in sales.
Yeah, dude, it's
right? Here's what I'm not here for. I'm not here to make $2,000 a month and be all about the mission. I don't own the thing. Guess what? If I owned the thing, I'm still not going to be $2,000 a month all about the mission. I'm going to be like, shit, Omar, we got to make some money.
what are we doing? This is the best part. Yes, it's going to suck. For 2 years, you're going to be poor. Just commit to us for 2 years. And then Nirvana hits. That's why I sent you. I sent Nick the clip, Louis Anderson coming to America, his 2 years. You know, yeah, I was like you guys. I was cleaning trash. Look at me now. I'm doing lettuce. And then right. Assistant manager. And then when 2 years rolls in, that's when the big bucks kick in at McDonald's. That's how every time, dude. 2 years, it's like, who the hell? I don't care if you're 20. I don't care if you're 30. That's absolute moronic to say, give us 2 years of poverty. And then, full disclosure, there's people there that are hitting 2 years that aren't fucking crushing it now, man. They just bought the Kool-Aid.
Right. Well, especially if you just go hours put in, right? You go hours put in. We go get a job making 15 an hour, and you put the hours you put in there, you're going to make more money.
Oh, dude, I told people, the guy at Chicken Kitchen across the way, he's got less stress making more money, and all he has to do is chop chicken.
100%. 100%. Right? And that's it's just funny to see what is preached and what actually happens, right? And you can put us all on a spectrum of hypocrite if you want to. That's fine. Right. At some point we've all said something, done something else, but I haven't done it with 4.5 million followers. Blatantly.
Dude, to this day, people ask me what was it like, you know, being half a year working with Pat. I'm like, what do you mean? Yes. Valuetainment. I'm like, what do you mean? And people still don't get it, dude.
You ever seen a call center? Have you ever seen a call center? And is it a little better than that? 100%. 100%. There were some opportunities that happened there. Sure, game on, where your network's going to grow a little bit. But it's not from the people in the building.
No.
It's from the people at the events. It's from the people at the events. It's from those other connections that you're actually making. And that's the... If you're actually going to go out and consult, like, I need you to be in businesses or shaking hands with business owners, not, hey, Omar, here's a list of 5,000. Go.
But we couldn't leave. Even though we were 1099, we weren't allowed to have
any. 100%. Or
even go to a network mark, like a chamber meeting or a BNA meeting, because we would be stealing. Even though we were contracted,
stealing time. I asked that question in October, and November 1, everybody was W-2'd suddenly. Weird.
Well, that's because somebody, not me or you, but someone, they had a couple of lawsuits.
Oh, word.
Didn't shocking. Know that. I know, shocking.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know, the thing is, being a business owner, you can't have it both ways. If you want to do 1099 because you don't want to get benefits, you don't want to, you know, pay unemployment because it's a friggin' revolving door, then you can't dictate. You must be here 80 hours a week. You must. Correct. We will manipulate you into working Saturdays. Dude, they would always try to tell me that I was a scumbag working banker. Bankers make more, and they, you know,
they also provide a lot more value. For the record, go ahead, continue. Though.
Yes, but because I have two teenage daughters, if I was to go to a travel soccer game, a practice, spend time with them, then I was a scumbag.
Correct. What about
Pat? That's what.
Right.
In fact, full disclosure, those were the last words I ever heard, because I stayed the whole day and then I left and I never came back, because I thought my supervisor, I don't know whether I told you this. He's like, "Hey, Omar, I follow your social media." I don't follow your social media, but you don't post anything about Pat. He's like, "What about Pat?" And I'm like, "You mean the guy worth $300 million? I didn't tell him. I'm like thinking. I'm like,
right.
And he's like, I just don't think, I just need to know, how loyal are you? And I'm like, "Leo, my grandfather turned 99 and I missed his birthday because I had to be here at work." Now, most sane people would be like, "Oh shit, man. I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
It was like, okay. And?
Yeah.
And your point?
All right.
Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy?
It is the victim. It is the almost put in. I put in 120 hours this week and I missed X, Y, and Z. And I only spent 2 hours with my kids. Not my problem. Not my problem.
We're horrible parents. We want you.
Correct.
And I'm like, dude.
No.
That's not me, man. And it's like, clearly you guys love to post shit, but there's always, when you work hard, the only people that will notice 20 years or remember are your children.
Right. Are your kids. Exactly. Exactly. And that was the between the Navy and manufacturing, right? And all about efficiency. What's the quickest way to get it done? What's the most effective way to get it done? Right. So being there and just the abhorrence of, like, don't even mention the 4-hour work week because there's nothing we can learn from it. And that guy's just off his rocker. I'm like, guys, there's all sorts of stuff we could do in the tech space that would print money in this business, Like, you give a couple of people 25, 30 racks, you're going to print $500,000 from that overnight. With the list you have. Now, we can't do that because, you know, you have to be a part of the community before we do business with you. Okay. Makes zero sense to me. I want to work as quickly and effectively as I can and make the most amount of money forever. If that means I have to sit down and hammer phones for 8 hours, cool. If that means I have to send 3 emails and make a couple phone calls and print 100 racks in 35 minutes, I'd much rather do that than hammer a phone for 8 hours.
Isn't it always about working efficient and working smarter?
No. This was, if you're not in the building, it's hard. The best quote I had was, quote, "It's hard to develop people that, quote, aren't ever here," end quote. I said, "Oh, ever." Okay, ever. You're right. You're right. The two days back home in North Carolina with the family. Never there. Got it.
Well, and dude, you and I, we're all about the wins, man. Anybody.
Correct.
Dude, correct. Every coworker, when they found out that I won the state, I got to be a TEDx speaker. Hey man, congratulations.
Yeah.
It's the crickets. From Mario. Crickets from Leo. In fact, Mario literally got in my face and told me there's nothing that you've ever done in your life that impresses me. And I laughed to this day because I'm a grown ass man. I didn't know my life revolved around, you know, impressing another man, dude. Correct. I can't imagine if I wanted to date him, I wanted to marry him. But
It's very much a cling to what you've had. And hey, I need to get as much of this as I can before it goes away versus, Omar, if we're in business together, or if we're in business and we're competitors, right? Like, and we're both going after some shit and you land it, I'm going to be pissed. But I'm going to pick the phone up and be like, "Hey man, that's a damn good job. Good work. Hey, what was your pitch like? What'd you do different? Because here's what I did. Go." But there is plenty in the consulting world, plenty in the business world for everybody to make a shit ton of money And it's very much hey, like, you have to prove yourself to me. I proved myself to you when you said, Omar, I want you to work for me. I want you to work with me. Here's your employment offer. Here's your 1099. I want you to come be a part of this team. I've already proven myself to you. All I have to do is go in and work. Go in and get the shit done. It's not a, hey, every single day I need you to jump through this fiery hoop and go. And that's where
it's like faith tests. Like, how much love do you have towards Pat? Right. Like a cult, dude.
Right. Right. Like, do you want me to bring, like, guess what? You're not going to mental capacity. There's nothing you can do in the corporate world to be like, hey, Nick, you're going to lose it. I'm good. I'm just going to be like, this was fun. Thank you so much. My mental stability is more important than however many dollars I can make here, and we'll go make it somewhere else.
Well, dude, there's billions of companies. There's billions of dollars, man. There's like,
right.
I got bamboozled to come back because, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll be professional. I wrote a letter of resignation. Right. They caught me at the door, manipulated me that my children would be disappointed in me. What would I tell my daughters? And it wasn't until, because it was literally before the Vault conference, I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Sometimes I'm okay. My limiting beliefs, I can be
sure. a normal person.
So he got me. I came back, and it wasn't until, full disclosure, we did the manual labor for the conference, the Vault, that I realized they just needed the extra hand, the extra 100%. People. To do all the grunt work, man. And it's like, dude, I'm a professional guy. I'm wearing a suit, but yet why don't I just start parking cars too, man, and start selling the merch? All the manual labor here.
Right. And that's not saying you're below the manual labor.
No, not at all.
But if you're gonna say that, hey, Omar, show up in shorts and t-shirt today, and then we'll go get you changed out and do whatever, right? But that's what I loved about the grant side of things, right? Because are we working the event 100%, but we're not the event people, right? They bring in event people strictly for the event and say, hey, here's what you do. Go. Right. So just seeing the dichotomy of events, it was crazy, but it was also the going back to, hey, what would you tell your daughters? Like, I'm going to tell my daughters to go where they're valued. And go where people
that's the answer now.
That's what I'm going to tell my daughters to do. So, like, what are my the other thing that was always said there was like, hey, if your parents were on their deathbed, you know, wouldn't you want them to know that you were working hard? Fuck no, I want to be next to them, you dumbass. I'm really glad Nick is working his ass off right now. Like, no, fuck that. I'm going to be holding my mom's hand when she leaves, you idiots.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. I would have so much fucking guilt if my mom
100%.
Was on her deathbed and she's dying and they give her the phone and she's like, Omar, where are you?
Yeah.
Mom, what about Pat?
I'm hammering phones, Mom. I'm working for you. No, you're not working for them, right? Like you said earlier, like the kids are going to be the only one that recognize it. And this is not there are a bunch of people that put in all sorts of work, right? 2024, I don't need to work 60 hours a week to make a bunch of money. I don't need to. It doesn't have. Do people do it? If you're going to work the 60 hours a week, cool, game on. But I'm not in the early 90s. Where I only have this much access to information in the world. Like you can make, there are kids that have just Instagram accounts of their animals that are making $10,000 a month, taking pictures of their dogs and shit.
Dude, T-Swift's dog is net worth from Instagram is like 90 something million bucks.
That makes sense.
It makes me, you know, it's like, oh shit, are you for real? But dude, that goes to show you, man. The only thing that stops people is what's in here, their head, dude.
Correct.
Just figure it out. Open up. If you're train of thought is, hey, it is what it is, I'm stuck here, then you're only going to get by. You're going to do the 30,000, the 40,000, because right. You know, it is what it is. Because right. you don't envision yourself somewhere making more money. And literally, right. If you want to chase money, yeah, dude. If a job, at least go where they're paying you so much fucking money that it outweighs, you know, the stress.
100%. 100%. And then I can say, hey, Omar, I'm taking 2 weeks off because it's my 2 weeks of vacation. And I just made my whatever, my 450 for the year, and I was never home. Hey, kids, I'm going to go be dad for 2 weeks out of the year. Right. But like, there is no, the other thing was the concept of, hey, if you're not in the office, you're not working. Right. The work is not a place, everybody, unless we're in the manufacturing world or you're a plumber, or you're an electrician, then sure, work is a place. I get that. But there is so much that you can do with a copywriting skill set, a marketing skill set. I can know how to sell skill set where I can be anywhere in the world. I can pick up the phone. I can zoom in. I can make the stuff happen and still put dollars in the pocket. Right. So every time I saw, hey, you know, you have to earn the beach. Like, I'm going to sit on the beach and close another deal.
Exactly.
And do both. You can do both, everybody.
It's like a no-brainer. And here, I miss work from there for a week, but I was still making calls.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a 1099.
Yeah.
Supposedly. I had to go speak, which, you know, I was getting paid for that.
Right.
And the sales were coming in. It was my best week. And then the accountant, which is also their babysitter, which is fucking crazy in itself, that woman is also. You know, the bookkeeper, she's like, we're paying you the commissions, but we're not paying you all week.
Right.
And it's like, right.
So now if I'm not in the office, I don't get paid for those days. Like,
exactly. And it was like, whoa, that's like, what illegal. About all those sales? who did them then? It wasn't me.
Yeah.
I wasn't physically there. And it's like, dude, that's why I know one of the two people that sued. And it's like, bravo, man, because you know, follow labor laws, bro. You know, don't work people 80, 90 hours and say they're here voluntarily.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, exactly. Why aren't you here Saturday? Because I'm 1099, bitch.
Because last I checked, it wasn't required. You want me to drive into the office to give you whatever FaceTime because you live too close.
Well, dude, to me it was because both of them hated being with their family, man. That's the only way. I have to go to the office. Pat's requiring me to be in the office.
Correct.
All day.
Correct. Well, that was the other thing, right? And I don't know a bunch of the other backstory, but there weren't a bunch of people there where I was pumped about how they were on the father side of things. There might have been, right? I didn't know a whole bunch about the other guy, but from a fatherly leadership head of household standpoint, hey, I only spent an hour with my kids this week, or I only spent 2 hours with my kids this week, and you're excited about that because you're in the office, makes zero sense to me. Like, you are failing as a father if you think that your kids give a shit that you made another $3,000.
Exactly. Dude, we're both parents. You see how time flies.
Exactly. Right. You're going to blink. Well, that was the fathers listening. If you're listening, spend time with your children. That's all. So I don't care if it's a half hour a day. I don't care if it's an hour a day. Like, spend as much time as you can with your kids. I have an army at the house, right? But my 16-year-old, I remember when I could hold him in the arm. And now he's like, hey, Dad, can you open X, Y, and Z account to me? I want to get into trading. I want to get into all the rest of this. And I'm like, where's the little dude? There's a little dude like 2 years ago, 3 years ago that was not this giant in front of me. And then they're gone, right? And then they're gone. They're out of the house. They're living whatever the life. And yeah, you're still their parent. But like, they are only there for a finite window.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh man, I gotta work. I would almost rather do it the other way. I would almost rather be home when my kids are 0 to 18, 0 to 20, and then I'll work my ass off from 55 to 75 or 60 to 90. Cool.
Fine. It makes more common sense. It clearly makes more common sense. And to me, if they would just do the opposite of this,
yeah,
their sales would be booming. They would have everything that they pretend they preach, which they don't. You know, I wanted to work for the company that's written in Pat's book. I'm 100%. Like, holy shit, man. This is going to be like working for Apple. This is going to be like working for Google. But this is like startup shit, man.
Right. Right. Well, it's also
that book is fiction, dude. It's fucking fiction.
Right. Right.
From that standpoint of that man, that's fiction. I would tell him to his face, dude. I'd be like, man, the ghostwriter did an amazing job. And you know what, dude? You know, I got to hand it to you. Whoever follows these rules to run a company, to run their life, they're going to be a fucking rock star.
They're going to win.
That book, you know, that's a winning recipe. Now, I didn't bother reading the new book. Not going to plug it.
No.
I don't know what the name of the book is.
I know what the name of the book is. That's why all of the LinkedIn posts have been firing in that direction. I think I read the first like three chapters. I was like, cool, I got it. But it's also I can learn so much from a book. You're going to find a snippet in everything. This isn't a don't read thing, but who are you listening to and what have they done? Right. So from a build it standpoint, if you just want to repeat the same shit and have the same punchlines and go over the same stuff that everybody else has, by all means, do it. Right. Some of the best advice I heard was like, hey, instead of listening to all of the people, what do you think? Say that. That doesn't mean some of the stuff you have didn't come from somebody else, but instead of listening to 12 different people about whatever the thing is, and GC's all about it too, he's like, hey, pick one person and go. And whatever they did, like the success is going to leave the clues on, hey, here are the other four or six steps to move forward.
Dude, what I love, the one thing that GC says is, I could give a fuck if you read 20, 30 books a year.
Yeah. Right.
But if you read one book over and over and you implement the book.
Correct.
And that 100%, man. Like when we're doing the book of the month club, with the pizza, with the cliche pizza party that there wasn't enough pizza to feed everybody.
Yeah,
it was just to do a book report. We weren't implementing shit. We weren't implementing anything in our lives with any of those books.
No, not at all, not at all. That was it was cool, but at the end of the day, it really just became like a checkbox. Right. It was, hey, we said we were going to do this and we did it. Okay, cool. But there was no, I don't know if any of those ever got read.
Power positive thinking by Vincent
Norman. No. Like the books.
I know, but I'm serious.
Yeah. I don't know if any of the reports ever got read. Like, hey, here's what I took out of
it. You know why I know the reports weren't read? You're going to laugh.
Go ahead.
Tlaib. I've read all his books.
Yeah.
I just saw Nassim Tlaib and I thought the book was Skin in the Game. It wasn't. Yeah. So I did a book report on Skin in the Game. Nobody ever said, hey dude, you did the wrong book.
This was not it.
This is not it. You read the wrong book. So it was just busy work, man. And
exactly.
The way I ran business for 20 years. Now, I wasn't Willy Wonka, and, you know, I wasn't a socialist, but, dude, I'm friends with on a personal level because I cared. I treated people like family. I treated right. people like I wanted to see them win.
Correct.
I know my job right. wasn't, you know, it was a starter job for a college kid or a high school kid. But, yeah. you know, having a relationship still with people 20, 23 years later, compared to, hey, if they breed, we'll hire them. Fuck it.
Right.
That's right. Well, that's not how to do it, dude.
It's that. So that and your, I hated the sales tactic of somebody just told me no. Okay. Well, hey, we're not sure if this is going to work for us either. I hated that. I hated that. So you just got rejected. You don't know shit about selling. And you're like, well, Omar, you know what? I don't know if you're the right kind of client for us anyway.
Hey, that's like, okay.
You're not going to chase me. You're not chasing me now. I fucked up on the front end. I don't know why I'm selling you anything, but you didn't buy. So now I'm angry. And Omar, this obviously isn't going to work for us either.
But you know where that comes from? That comes from, were you ever on one of the Zooms that Pat would berate one of his clients because they asked the wrong thing and he just wanted to belittle them in front of a Zoom full of 100 people and everybody just...
I was on one where I thought it was warranted, but I was on one where I thought it was warranted. And it was...
No, usually he would do it unwarranted. Like it was...
No. I was on one where
yeah,
I thought it was
like condescending.
But no, I never... Yeah, no, I never saw him lose it.
Yeah. And it's like, well, dude, to me, okay, there really isn't a fucking stupid question if you're an entrepreneur and yeah. you're paying someone for help.
100%.
Fucking answer it, dude. 100%. And move on, man. You don't have to make... That guy's never going to want to ask another question, dude.
Correct.
He's correct. If his idol did that, he's not going to ask anybody for advice. He's not going to try anything different because he already now feels like he's fucking stupid.
Right. Well, and that's the – there's a difference between me asking you a question, you giving me the actual answer, and then me being like, well, Omar, I don't know if that shit's going to work, or me coming up with an excuse over and over again. Sure, like, I don't know if we lose our mind, but we're like, hey – If it is a limiting belief thing, then that's a completely different topic. That's a completely different call. That's a completely different something that we're going to have to dive into to figure out what that is. But if you're just going to ask a question and you're expecting a decent and you lose your mind, I'm going to be like, "Cool, thanks so much. This was awesome. I need to be out of here." It's fun though. It's fun though. What are we doing with the book? How's the book going? What are we blasting it out everywhere? Is there an Omar?
No, dude, I'd write another book. Everybody wants me to write a third book, but I'm being a bitch, and I'm going to do it because over the past like year and a half, it was always like, well, I'm only going to write it if a major publisher picks me up, and it's like, who the fuck am I, dude? Just do it, man. And no, the only thing I'm promoting right now is just myself. And I want to see other people win, dude. What are you doing now? I know you're in a better place.
Dude,
I want you to tell everybody because I would rather hire you. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass.
Yeah.
Because you, dude, you have the knowledge.
Right.
You can turn someone.
Correct. Yeah. So,
you know, from red to black.
100%. For me right now, we're launching, the company's called Breach Point, but we're essentially taking your McKinsey and Accenture and BCG consulting models to small businesses. And we're going to do it on a subscription model in whatever area of business, right? We got operations, we got sales, we got your marketing, we got your people side, and then we've got all of the rest in the digital marketing world. But we'll do some strategy stuff, we'll do some operation stuff, whatever you need. From a business standpoint, a gal that worked at McKinsey, and then my buddy that has been in the digital marketing space, like targeting for the last 5 years. We're gonna take that to small businesses and say, hey guys, we'll sit down, we'll do whatever, an hour or 2 hour assessment, give you, hey, here's where we think you can improve, and then go. So that's really the main thing right now. And then I'm coaching for Sirhan as well, building out his whole coaching side, because he's taken, eventually we're going to take the real estate coaching model, and we're going to take that to small businesses too. Because he's like, hey, right now I want to focus on real estate, and eventually we're going to put that everywhere on the venture side. So,
well, but it's good. Real consult. You're doing real consulting.
Real consulting. Like, real consulting. We're going to sit down. We're going to go through your business. You're going to get whatever, a 5, a 10, or a 20 pager from us on here's what we found. Here's where we think you can improve. Ideally, if we could do it in person, cool. If we have to do it via Zoom, that's fine too.
Zoom works.
Yeah. But it's very much a done with you. Hey, here's your blueprint. Here's what we can tweak. And then obviously if we need to bring partners in or we need to augment your staff to help with stuff, we'll be able to do that too. But right now that's probably 25, 30 hours a week. And it's a blast and I love it.
So if my sales staff sucks, can we start from zero with you? Can
100% like
build 100%. That
sales staff? Absolutely. Sales Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yep. I would almost rather do it that way than have to retrain people. That's not saying we can't come in and fix it, but coming in and fighting your top producers' personalities, I've had a much easier time with, hey, I've got a sales team of 3 and we don't know what the hell we're doing. Right. Can I come in and help your season people? 100%. Because usually it's a fundamental thing, but that's where even on your side, if you're going to do the licensee side of things, everybody get in here with Omar and see you have the weekly call go or just do the, Omar, you do the event somewhere. I'll come speak for $0, assuming they approve it.
Dude, I've got big plans, man. I want to do events with like multiple speakers.
Yeah.
Nick, you guys also do the marketing aspect, right? Because so many fucking small business owners.
Oh yeah.
Jack shit about marketing.
For sure.
About promotion.
And, yep. Marketing, promotions. If it's a social side, fine. If it's a direct mail side, fine. If people hate door knocking, like I'll go door knock with you. I don't care. I've done it with some of my solar people. Like I don't. Whatever it is to show you, hey, here is what greatness looks like, we can get it out there. And then it's just going to be, as you said, the repetitiveness of, hey, what am I learning? What am I doing? What am I struggling with?
You know, go. People are so fearful of the B2B or the door knocking. But the reason why it's still being done is because it's effective.
Correct. That was one of my... the real estate guys that I follow all the time was like, hey, what? He's like, I don't care what you're doing. If you're doing direct mail, cool. If you're door knocking, cool. If you're hammering phones, cool. If you're doing the events, he's like, you have to do one of them. They all work. I don't care what you do, but you have to go do it.
Well, people are fearful of fucking rejection, man. They'll tell you, oh, well, that's a waste of time going door knocking or B2B. What they're really trying to say is, that's so scary. How about if I go to the business and the owner is real mean to me and throws me out? Or how about if I go door knocking in a neighborhood and they tell me to press on? That's really ultimately why people say it's ineffective.
Right. What are you going to do? Oh no, I called you. You yelled at me and hung up?
Dude, anybody.
Cool. Next.
Dude. And I'll say this, when we talk about call centers, there are profitable call centers are called health insurance, the people doing the ACA and whatnot.
100%.
Believe it or not, people, that might look, if you're chasing money, but you're too chicken shit to cold call, get a job like that, man. It pays 100%. Like, it pays good money. I don't know why people are too fearful. Because they want this glam shit. They want the Lambo. They want to live on Sunny Isles, but they don't want to pay the dues, man.
Right. Do you want to some of the best stuff I've heard was like, do you want to look rich or be rich? And you can do both. You can do both, but your average millionaire is driving a 7-year-old Camry. Maybe it's a 5-year-old Camry, but your average millionaire is driving a Camry. Not the Lambo, not the G-Wagon, not the lifted truck.
Well, dude, what's funny is people want to emulate GC. Says it all the fucking time, man. Yeah. He says he only does all that shit because of the amount of money he's
Correct.
All passive Correct. Income.
Correct.
He's like, you know that jet?
Right. Yeah. He's like, I bought this jet because I had tax problems. They didn't say tax problems, but he's like,
I need to write off. The helicopters too.
Right, right. So I just wrote off the next 2 years of my taxes. Okay, hell yeah, let's go.
But he tells that people only want to see sometimes instead of hear. And they're like, oh, well, I got the Rolly and I need the Escalade. And that's why I tell people all the time, if you want to make money and it's safe, dude, just go to a fucking call center. Go pass your insurance license. They'll give you a headset. You read a script. People are calling you.
Yeah.
You upsell them. Congratulations. But oh my God, you have to tell people you're doing the ACA thing, making $80,000, $100,000.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's the other thing. Like, what is your, I need to define whatever success looks like for you before I come in and help.
Oh, exactly.
Because a business owner saying, hey, I want to increase top line, or I want to help X number more people. Well, cool. There are plenty of ways to do that. But do you want to do that? Do you want a team to do that? Like, how much more money? Is it a money thing or is it a freedom thing? Because we can do both. But if you just want the freedom, we need to work on your training plan. And I need Omar to be able to lead for 2 weeks. I need the company to run flawlessly while Omar's gone.
Well, I've seen Nick. He's a serviceman. So I know he checks the ego when it comes to his family, when it comes to providing for his family.
100%.
Same thing with me. That's why, dude, I might dress boosh. Dude, I wore fucking cargo khakis for like 20 years, man. It's like, who gives a shit, man?
Right.
Just focus on your family. Focus on being a provider. There's so many jobs out there, and we are all in sales. When somebody says, oh, I hate sales, I just want to fucking punch them in the throat, man. Because we're all in sales.
You do hate sales? Are you married? Have you ever dated? Do you want me to continue down this path? No. All right, cool. Good talk.
did you bag that chick in high school because you wanted to get some? That was a sale job,
dude. Right. Right. Like, what are we at the end? The people hate slimy used car salesmen that sell them lemons, or your door to door Cutco knife guys. Who, by the way, those guys made a bunch of money too. If you don't know any of them,
dude, but I grew up. I'm a little older than you, but man, I remember the encyclopedia guy. I remember the fucking sales guy, the knife guy, the Tupperware. Yep. Yeah. The person that's doing the MLM, the Tupperware, and saying, yeah, dude. I'm going to cut you. Your internet went off, but I'm going to riff a little until you come back. Yeah. The thing with people, when it comes to sales, it's not just car sales, used car. It's not just selling timeshare. That's one aspect, a very tiny aspect. It's everybody from the movie guy that wants to know if you want a large popcorn or you want to upsell. Oh, hey, would you like to become a member of Movico? You have to just look at it this way, man. The selling is just connecting. And how well can you connect? We lost Nick, but that's okay. I love Nick. We're almost out of time anyways. So I'm just going to riff for a couple of minutes. When it comes to the sales process, always remember this. Listen. The more you listen, the more you connect, the more you come from a non-judgmental place. And Nick is back. Dude, we lost you, man.
I'm back. I was like, no.
Don't worry. I spoke. I was talking about the sales process. I was talking about just this easy little tip. Listen. Just listen.
Absolutely.
If you can listen more. If you can come from a place of non-judgment, don't judge anybody. Just listen. Just come from a place that you want to understand. You want to understand their world. You want to solve their problem. You don't need to know everything about the item you're selling. Just know that this is going to help solve a problem. And that's 100%. It. And then 100%. If there's anybody that, you know, I've got questions. That's still a sale. What happens though is when somebody raises objections, they shrink back. They're like, oh man, this is a rejection.
Right.
And Nick and I had learned this from doing modules and reading a million books of different people in sales. Dude, it's all about connecting. Right. I had to sell Nick to be on my show. I mean, granted, we were going to talk shit.
It wasn't a hard sell.
We also had to talk about selling. It couldn't have been just an hour of bullshit, you know?
100%. Well, that was I was mid-sentence on if they don't know what the Encyclopedia Britannica was or what the Yellow Pages were. It was what Google was when we were growing up because we didn't have access to the whole world.
But Nick, what really sucked about the Encyclopedia Britannica is they didn't give you ABC. It was just fucking random, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'd get like M.
Yeah, they gave you like the whole world. They're like, hey, here's 27 volumes of all of the world's knowledge. And we're like, when you say all of the world, it's how we used to look stuff up in school, everybody. Pre-computer, they're like, go grab the encyclopedia, learn about X, Y, and Z.
Microfish. Don't forget the microfish, the Dewey Decimal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, what do we do?
Dude, in sales for me was, okay, here's the leads, which was just the phone book.
Yeah.
That they paid for somebody. Or here's the Yellow Pages.
Right. Mr.
Financial Advisor.
Right.
Call away.
Go. Well, that was back when everybody's number was public. They used to, everybody that is newer, all my people that are 25 on down, they used to have a book that had every single person's number published for your city. Everywhere.
You had to pay the Yellow Pages to be unpublished.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Most people were too cheap. There was no do not call.
No. So,
and there was no, well, you know, once a person, dude, you could hammer away. And it was like the wild, wild west, man. Was it ineffective? Yes. But, you know, it is.
You never said, hey, I didn't have enough leads. Never.
Exactly.
Never.
Exactly. Unless you grew up in a town like Footloose or something like that, where there's like 50 people to call.
Absolutely.
Okay, dude. One final question.
Yeah.
What words do you have for someone that they're stuck?
Okay.
They're stuck. They don't know. They might be an entrepreneur.
Sure.
Their sales are declining. They don't know how to sell. They don't know how to market themselves. They just feel like it is what it is. Just like.
Okay. Yeah. So two different questions. So for the sales guy, right? If sales are declining, you take this guy, and I understand that we're going to get some hate here, but you take this guy, and yours might be an iPhone, which is fine. But somebody in your phone needs whatever product or service you have. And that's as easy as, hey, Omar, here's what I'm doing now. Here's my offer. Here's who I'm helping. If that's not you, who do you know that I can help? If sales are declining, start with your phone, because there's somebody in your phone that is a client. If you are stuck in life, if you're a book person, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero is a great book. Vivid Vision is a phenomenal book. I'm going to brutalize his name because I don't have it in front of me, but Vivid Vision is a great book. And also there's this real cool guy named Omar, who wrote this book called What If It Did Work? That is also amazing. And if you are actually stuck, but if you're actually stuck, like, what do you enjoy doing? What can you make money doing it? And then usually if you feel stuck, it's an alignment issue with, hey, I'm doing something that I either don't agree with or I don't enjoy doing. And that's not saying you have to go make money doing what you enjoy doing. If you have $100 to your name and you got mouths to feed, don't go find something where, hey, I enjoy doing this and this is what we're doing now, family. Right? I need you to make your money, but figure out where the intersection of, hey, I enjoy doing this and I can get paid a bunch for it happens. And that's where all the magic is, right? Like, I'm going to coach forever, whether you're paying me or not for it. I would hop on a call or I would go to a client 25, 30, 40, probably even 40 hours a week, depending on where we're at, what we're doing, if I wasn't getting paid for it. Because I love seeing the aha moments inside of people where, hey, here's what's next. But the other thing I tell people is, hey, like, what did you do prior to the job, what did you do when you were having fun last? And when was the last time you did that again? For me, that's hitting a baseball. Because there is I don't think about anything. We're just going to go hit it. And we're gonna get the mind clear and we're good. Right? But if you feel stuck right now, figure out, is it what you're doing? Is it an income thing or is it a relationship thing? Or is it just you? It might just be an internal thing. And then one of those three books will help you. Reach out to me, reach out to Omar. We'll walk you through whatever the thing is.
And Jen is an amazing person. She was one of my first guests. Yeah. Why? Just because I asked. I asked the publicist and they're like, fuck it. Why not?
There you go.
That shows you. What if it did work? Brother.
Absolutely.
I love you. I wish we had more time together.
100%.
Working, but it didn't work out. And we're both sane people. We don't color between the lines.
No.
We are free thinkers. We're not the type to join a cult.
No.
So it wasn't meant. But dude, the time with you, your energy, and just listening to you, Sal, love you, man. And dude, hire Nick. Follow him on LinkedIn. Follow him on LinkedIn. Follow him on Instagram. I love it because he's passive aggressive. Like I thought I was. He when it comes to burning bridges, he brings the lighter fuel and he'll do it right in front of everybody.
Absolutely. That's
what I love about him because he's a real person. He's not some fake motherfucker. I love you, dude.
Thank you. Thanks for the time, brother. What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.